2-0. And a blast way back left field, and forget about it. My goodness, Nick Castellanos. A long home run to left field down the line. It's a two-run shot, and it is a 3-0 Phillies lead.
And it would only get better from there. Thank you, Scott Fransky. Thank you, L.A., for that at the end, which was good punctuation for last night's game. Good morning, everybody, along with Mike Sielski from The Inquirer. I am Glenn Macnow. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, Glenn.
It was a great night down at the Ball Yard yesterday. Nick Castellanos hits the home run. Reese Hoskins hit a home run. Derek Hall hits a home run. JT Realmuto hits a home run. Who am I leaving out? There were five. Who did I leave out?
You said Derek Hall, Castellanos, JT, and Hoskins, right?
Hoskins. Yeah. Shame on me.
First run on the board.
Shame on me. Castellanos heating up, Mike.
Yeah.
Let me give you this. He is now, in his last 10 games, .368 with an OPS of .905.
Rumor is that the Phillies are going to sign Jim Salisbury to a contract in which he engages in a heated back and forth with Nick Castellanos every morning to keep Castellanos hitting at this level.
Hey, Jim can take all the credit. I would not argue with any of that. Anyway, the Phillies go to a 7-2 win over the really lowly Washington Nationals.
Can we say that the Nationals are, in your favorite term, tanking?
Well, yes, we can say that. And the good news is the Phillies play them a ton of times between now and the end of the year. The Phillies play the Nationals, they play the Marlins, they play the Pirates. The Phillies' schedule looks really easy. And now the Phillies have won 9 of the last 11. They are 10 games above .500 for the first time this season. Interesting, I was looking at the standings. It's a three-way tie now among the Phillies, Milwaukee, and St. Louis. Two of those three teams are going to make the playoffs. One of Milwaukee, St. Louis makes it because they will win the division. You liking the chances?
I do. The Phillies, if I'm not mistaken, hold the tiebreakers over both of those teams. So combine that with the moves that Dave Dombrowski made at the trade deadline. Combine those two factors with the fact that, as you said, JT Realmuto and Nick Castellanos, two guys who you're paying a ton of money to, who had been having below-average seasons, are starting to hit. I think you got to feel pretty good about the Phillies' chances here.
Liking it a lot. And by the way, they do have 9 games left against the Nationals, and that's, you know, they've won 16 of their last 18, and that was before Washington dumped everybody. Tonight, Ranger Suarez against that lefty, two lefties tonight, against that Patrick Corbin, who's a decent pitcher, but
he
like it. All right, let's spend a minute talking about what happened this week, because I heard some talk on the station that it wasn't enough, they should have made a big splash, you know, Juan Soto went to San Diego, and what did we get? I'll pitch it to you. I like what they got. Give me your assessment of these deals.
I like what they got, too. I think Brandon Marsh is the kind of risk that you ought to be taking at the trade deadline, right? A controllable player with potential. The Phillies, and I know this is kind of a common response when asked about a player who is perceived to be underachieving as a hitter. Well, we see something there that we can unlock. And that's going to put a lot of pressure on Kevin Long, the Phillies hitting coach, to unlock the potential in Marsh's swing. But what he can do is play center field. He can track a ball down. And as anybody who has spent any time watching Odubel Herrera play center field over the last, 6 or 7 years, you know how valuable a skill that can be. So in the main, I like that deal. Obviously, Noah Syndergaard is not the Noah Syndergaard who was with the Mets, who was, you know, throwing.
Yeah, that was a pretty disturbing debut the other night.
Yeah.
11 hits in 5 innings.
Yeah.
And some of those balls were hit right on the nail.
They were. And that's what you don't want. 11 hits in 5 innings, but 5 innings is what you kind of are hoping for out of Syndergaard. I will say this, we didn't mention this in the open. It was fun to watch Kyle Gibson pitch.
Oh, yeah, shame.
Last night.
Me. Normally, when a guy has a perfect game through 6, we do bring it up, but he did. Looked terrific.
He looked great. His ball had a lot of movement. Just as a kind of personal preference thing, it was so nice to be able to watch a Major League Baseball game where the starting pitcher was relevant for a long time during the game. I think that's the biggest thing that baseball misses nowadays. But be that as it may, if you can get something close to that out of Kyle Gibson for the rest of the season, you'll take that. Is he a guy you're going to count on in a short playoff series? Of course not. Not necessarily. But they got to get there first.
I also really like the moves. I'll give you two reasons I really like the moves. One is you got rid of a lot of trash this week.
Yes, you did.
You know what? That's a nasty way for me to say it. You got rid of a lot of flotsam this week.
Yeah.
Is that better?
You got rid of players who weren't helping you win.
Right. Thank God Odubel is out of here.
Yeah.
He was a really dumb fundamental player for a lot of years. I was sorry to see Didi Gregorius kind of go out this way, but he's a shot player.
Yes, he is.
Maybe he goes somewhere and it picks up again, but it wasn't going to be here. Familia was terrible when he was here. It was an awful signing this year. And Moniak, you know, I know he hit a home run his first night. Hey, good luck to you. It wasn't going to happen here. That's what they gave up, and they didn't give up any of those prized prospects. So that's one thing that I was really delighted with. And the other one is this. For the last 2, 3, 4 years, the bullpen on this team has just been an anchor. It's been an albatross. It's awful. Bullpen's been doing a lot better this year. Sir Anthony has been pitching really well. Andrew Bellotti, to me, looks like he's a pitcher. He's a name that nobody ever talks about, but I think he's actually a pitcher. And now Alvarado versus lefties has been very good. And now you added, for the second time, hopefully with better results, David Robertson came in, had a save. Mike, could it be, after all this time, that the bullpen is not a weakness but a strength for the Phillies?
I think that's absolutely the case. You know, I think it's interesting. The Robertson move is interesting to me because I think in some people's minds, the default reaction to it is, oh, no, that guy was already here and it didn't go well, and now the Phillies are going back to that well.
Yeah, been there, done that. Right.
But look at David Robertson's career. He has been an excellent relief pitcher throughout his career. It might have just been bad timing and bad luck that he got hurt during his time with the Phillies. And he spoke openly, I think even before the trade was made, where he said, you know, I wouldn't mind going back to Philadelphia. I feel like I left something there. There's unfinished business there. I feel like I owe them something. And I think you're right, Glenn. We talked about this a little bit last week, the idea of, yeah, you can make a big splash and give up those prospects, or you can get a little more creative and think a little differently about how you try to improve the team. And yeah, you get Syndergaard, but in the absence of adding another real top-flight starter, you bolster a strength. You make a strength stronger. And that's what they did with getting Robertson. As you said, the bullpen's been pretty good. Now it should be even better with Robertson. I really like what they did, and now it's just in the hands of those guys on the roster.
Yeah, I feel very good about it. We have been here in August before. We've been here the last couple of years, and they have been in the race. But I do think it's different this year. First of all, for whatever reason, this manager's got them together. The interim manager, Rob Thompson, he could end up the manager of the year as an interim manager. Has that ever happened before?
I think maybe Jack McKeon did it with the Marlins in 03.
Okay.
I think.
He was 78 years old at the time.
Something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
He was eating dinner at 4 o'clock, you know, 3 hours before first pitch.
Been there. But anyway, I am feeling very optimistic, very good about this team for everything we just mentioned. I think they're going to go to the playoffs, and once you get to the playoffs, anything can happen.
This is just me. I think the telling moment, the underrated telling moment of this season so far to me, happened a week ago Friday when Odubel Herrera made that base-running blunder against the Pirates on Friday night. Now, it ended up not costing the Phillies anything. They ended up tying the game, going on to win it. But you could see Rob Thompson in that dugout demonstrably frustrated and angry with Odubel Herrera.
Talk to him.
And within a week, Odubel was out of here, finally.
That's a great point.
And that, to me, kind of symbolizes where the Phillies are now and maybe why you ought to believe that this is real, or at least realer than it was in 2018 or 2019.
All right, 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494 if you want to talk to Mike or to me. I like that last point you made. That was really good. Okay, want to throw in something else here. We are 6 days away from the Eagles preseason. You know how it always goes? And we might have talked about this a couple weeks ago. No, probably not. We weren't doing shows a couple weeks ago. I always look so forward to the start of training camp. And then 3 days into training camp, it's like, no, oh, this is boring. When do we get the preseason? Right? We're not learning anything in training camp. We're not seeing anything. 99.9% of the fans don't get to view it at all. So you wait. And when's the preseason? Okay, there's the preseason. Next Friday, it's going to start. Oh, we're going to get to watch everybody. And then the preseason is going to be all those guys who will not be on the team when the season starts. Right. Some, you know, but it's the preseason, like, ugh, when's the season start? But next Friday night, New York Jets here at the Link, Philadelphia Eagles. I will ask you and I will ask our listeners, tell me something realistically that you are looking forward to seeing next Friday night.
Okay, so two things that I personally am looking forward to seeing. I don't know how much we're going to see of the first team offense. So I think it's easy to say I want to see Jalen Hurts. I'm not sure how much we're going to learn about Jalen Hurts and the Eagles offense from these three preseason games.
I don't think we're going to see any Jalen Hurts. Do you?
I think we might see a series or two at most.
Okay.
The two guys I want to see for different reasons are, number one is N'Kobe Dean, who has not, he's been fine in training camp, but he has not been one of those guys where you say, oh, we've got to get, the Eagles have to get this guy on the field. He's looked okay, but it's, I want to see what happens when the lights are on and he's actually on the field in game situations, because he was so good at Georgia. I just want to see how what I saw from him in college compares to a facsimile of a Sunday in the NFL. The other thing I want to see, and this is kind of the way I'm wired, the other guy I want to see is Jalen Reagor.
Oh, you stole my guy.
Did I really?
Yeah. He stole one of my two. But
yeah,
go ahead. You go.
Just because there is so much swirling around him.
Yep.
Former first round pick, going against the backups throughout camp, has made some plays, has gotten into it with people on Twitter, all of that. I want to see what he does. Is he really any better, or is this all just sound and fury?
As my grandfather used to say, I don't know if people still use this cliche, but my grandfather used to say, Lenny, it's time to fish or cut bait. And I said, Grandpa, you don't fish. He said, yeah, well, you know what I mean. And it is for him. It is. Yeah. And there are guys who are pressing him. Look, he's behind A.J. Brown. He's behind Devonta Smith. He's behind Quez Watkins. He's behind Zach Pascal, right?
Yeah.
Who's done throwing up now?
I sure hope so.
Man, that guy had food poisoning. He, like, threw up for 4 days or something? Okay. Nonetheless.
Can we move on from that topic?
Yeah, let's do it. So it's what? Him versus John Hightower versus Greg Ward versus whoever, you know, shows up that we don't know about. He's 50-50 to make the team, and he is a former first-round draft pick, and he has a ton to prove. So I agree with you. That's a great one, and he will get a lot of playing time.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And okay. I would be hesitant to keep him only because I have an irrational appreciation for Greg Ward.
You too?
Not that he should be a number one, two, or three wide receiver, just that I love his story, and I think the guy knows how to get open, and that's the kind of guy who should have a job.
And he's a good teammate.
Yes.
Yeah, Merrill loves him. Loves him. Loves him. I would have no problem with Reagor being out of here unless he plays really well, because I don't think his attitude is helping the team.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
And I don't think it ever has. And if you're the fourth, fifth wide receiver, and plus, I don't know how much he's going to play special teams. I need that guy to play special teams. I don't know if he can do that. The other guy that I really want to see, you take N'Kobe Dean, which is great. I'm going to take the first round pick. I so much want to see the big boy out
Jordan
there. Yeah,
Davis.
Jordan Davis running out there in the middle of the defense, clogging it up, stopping guys, not being moved. You know, it's one of those things where, like, I don't care if he makes tackles. I just want it to be that he's there. They got to change direction. Somebody else makes the tackle. I'm really excited about Jordan Davis. When the draft was occurring, we were broadcasting the draft, right? It was me and Ike and Elliot and so on, and we're all looking like, okay, who's falling? Who's getting picked? What does this mean? And I'm thinking, Jordan Davis, man. I just want Jordan. And he stayed. They stayed there, and they got him.
He's almost like it's – how can I put this? I'm very intrigued by the possibility of having Jordan Davis be a force on the defensive line and Jordan Mailata continue to be a force on the offensive line, because they are the two biggest human beings I've ever encountered in my life.
Huge.
And it is it is remarkable to stand near them and understand what incredible athletes they are.
I met Jordan Davis at the Maxwell Clubs last year, right? The Maxwell Club, the one over in Jersey.
Yes.
Yeah, it was Maxwell Club. That was it. Where Ray got on her, right?
Who?
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I hope so. And Jordan Davis was the college defensive player of the year. So, you know, I got to meet him when I was with Ray, and I shook his hand, and I'm telling you, it was like shaking hands with a baseball glove.
Yeah.
His hands were huge. Everything was huge. Love him.
I
Into
do, too.
Him.
I'm really
like
curious.
Such a good kid.
Yeah, I'm curious to see him, too. He seems a very outgoing guy, kind of guy who, if he lives up to expectations as a first-round pick and becomes a solid to terrific player, becomes, you think, like the next iteration of a Brandon Graham kind of a guy because he has that kind of personality.
All right, so we ask you this question. You know what you're going to, you know what you're probably not going to see during preseason. Eagles are not going to play a lot of their first unit guys. Jalen Hurts, did he play at all in the preseason last year?
I think he played a series or
okay,
two.
Okay, well, then that's it. So realistically, we ask you, what do you want to see in the preseason? You know what the expectations are. You've been waiting for this. Who and what are you looking to see? 215-592-9494. Pete in Springfield starts us off. Hi there, Pete.
Good morning, guys. How you feel?
Doing great.
Well, first of all, it's been a long time. I used to work at the Montgomery County Record. Way back in the day, and I had actually met and worked with Mike Groves back when.
Pete, it's great to hear from you.
Yes, it's been a long time, back days of Nick Fierro and Ira Joseph and all them, and Wayne and so forth. So
great guys.
Great guys, right. Well, I'm calm. I'm not here to defend O'Double, okay? But I am going to tell you that they still have a little bit of a weak link. Now, I love him as his attitude, and he's a obviously, he leads the team in home runs. But if you take the home runs away from Kyle Schwarber, he's the biggest bust that we've ever had. Okay?
Take the home runs away from the league leading with 32 now?
Yes.
34.
34, excuse me, on pace for
45?
At least.
Yeah,
so,
that means a lot.
You understand that on its face, and you seem like a nice guy, and Mike's not going to want to insult you, so I will. On its face, it's a ridiculous statement to say if you take away all those home runs. That's like saying if you take away the 50 touchdown passes that Dan Marino had that year, he did nothing.
Yeah, but guess what? When you have more home runs than you actually have hits, okay, and you're on pace to become the major league leader ever in strikeouts, okay, and you're leading off and you're hitting .203, okay, now, and also in the outfield, he's probably worse than O'Double, okay?
He's not playing center field.
The alligator arms, everything that comes to him.
This is the anti-Schwarber agenda here is very surprising.
If a ball is coming tracking toward him, and he knows he can't get it, he just waves his arm at it.
Yeah.
Alligator arm.
Okay. By the way, he's on pace for 51 home runs.
There you go. I undersold him.
Which isn't so bad. He's on pace for 100 runs scored, 100 RBIs.
And he's had like 6 walks in the last 3 weeks.
He has 57 walks in 104 games. That puts him on pace for about 80. Not bad. Leads the team in walks.
All right.
Hey, listen, we got your point of view. I think it's ridiculous, but I will admit 204 is not what I'm looking to see out of him, and he's a defensive sieve, but we knew the defensive part.
Yeah, and if every hit he gets travels 425 feet, I think you'll take that. You know, look, I think it's, to your point, Glenn, it's kind of like complaining that if you take away the Academy Award winning performances of Robert De Niro, he isn't much of an actor.
Yeah, well, I did see Dick Tracy, and that would support
that
Pacino, point.
That's not Robert De Niro.
Oh, he wasn't in that. That's right. Okay, well, he made a lot of bad movies, too. But
he did.
Good point by you. Okay, so the point I thought he was going to make was he's not a good leadoff hitter. I don't know why he chose to defend O'Double as part of it, because he and O'Double didn't play the same position. It's a whole different thing. They don't have a leadoff hitter, which is problematic. Is there looking at the guys they have, is there somebody you would put in the leadoff spot?
No. We batted this around last week. There really isn't anyone else who fits the bill. Now, I suppose if they are able to fix Brandon Marsh's swing, quote-unquote fix his swing, he would be the kind of guy maybe that you could put up there, but he strikes out a lot. And you've got a ways to go before you can even think about putting him at the top of the lineup. So in the absence of anyone else, Kyle Schwarber is leading the National League in home runs as a leadoff hitter. Leave him there as a leadoff hitter.
Yeah, you get more at bats that way anyway. Okay,
yeah.
I agree. All right, so I would say that maybe he was not in Dick Tracy, but he was in Dirty Grandpa, and
that's terrible.
That was Jennifer's worst performance.
That's pretty bad.
Struggling to come up with something, but that was the one.
That's good question. Like, what was the last great movie Robert De Niro was in? Was it The Irishman?
Yeah, which wasn't great, but it was good. It was pretty solid.
It was long.
It was that. I think it's still going. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. Batting around the Phillies. Whatever your thoughts are on that. And also the preseason. What do you want to see? Eagles play next Friday. It's 6 days away. You've been waiting for it. There's going to be 65,000 people there. What are you hoping to see? With Mike Sielski, I'm Glenn Macnow on 94 WIP.